Well, folks, she's back like a bad rash. My most favorite guest in the whole wide world is back to tell us about her brand new children's book, Messy Machini. Gee, I hope I pronounced that right. She's the co-host of NBC's Today show, the fourth hour. Her and Hoda do an amazing job. The ratings have been kicking everybody's butt. And she's an author. She's a singer. She's a Broadway producer. I mean, what else do you do? Seriously.
Oh, hi.
What else do you do?
I'm thinking about the rash thing. I can't think about anything.
Oh, sorry. Pardon me. Excuse me.
How did you know? That's the amazing thing.
You know, whenever
I... Hello, my friend. How are you?
Whenever I'm in elevators with a friend, and, you know, elevators can be very quiet and very awkward, I like to turn to my friend and say, so did you get the ointment?
Oh, I know, or you know, something.
Something,
yeah, yeah.
Something. Listen, before we start, somebody tweeted me, I think is how you say it, and
mm-hmm.
and they told
you
me...
You gotta be careful.
I know.
Right.
They yes. They tweeted me, not a picture, but some words that said, please say hello to Kathy Lee for me. Fondness, kindness, there's all sorts of mushy stuff in this tweet. Makoto Fujimura said to say hello.
The wonderful artist?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. How yes. nice.
He is...
Didn't even know he knew me. I mean, I've met him at our church, but what a brilliant man. Oh, beautiful spirit, beautiful heart.
Yes.
Thank you.
He is. He is quite a nice...
Now, you know Drew Marshall, but who is?
Okay, wine pong. Can we talk about wine pong, please?
Yes.
What? I don't understand. What is going on between you and Jimmy? Seriously.
Oh, he says it's a cougar thing, but I... You know what? If you knew Jimmy Fallon, he is about the sweetest, most lovable guy in the world. He's the guy that everybody's pulling for to be incredibly successful because there truly is not a nicer guy.
Wow.
He is just a doll. Everybody loves him. So I go on a show occasionally, and we always have fun, and I always like to do something a little memorable.
Mm.
So he said they've been playing beer pong with you know, people like Helen Mirren, and I mean, like classy broads, right? and so, you know me, I'm classier than that.
Yes.
So I wasn't going to play beer pong.
No.
And I didn't know. I thought you really played ping pong, and if you missed, you had to drink. I didn't know what it was. Just
yeah.
like I didn't know what a keg stand was when I went on Leno. I'm just here to learn and be educated about these things.
Oh.
I had an ill-spent youth. I was a very fine Christian woman. I didn't do all these things.
Okay, listen, I cannot believe, you're not going to convince me that you've never thrown a ping pong ball into a glass of Chardonnay.
Never. No, and here's what's interesting. What you didn't see was before I landed the very first one, the
yes.
first time, during the commercial break, I was practicing because I'd never done it. I missed 10 in a row, didn't get one in. So Jimmy was thinking, oh, this is a piece of pie.
Yeah.
And the first one goes right in. The look on his face is because I hadn't made any, you know. So, and I was thrilled, and then I got another one in, and, yeah. and I beat him, and then I had to smack him on the mouth with a big old smoocheroo.
Who's classier, Kathy Lee Gifford or Reese Witherspoon?
Well, yeah, pretty much everybody is more so than me, I suppose, but I think she played it too, right?
I'm just saying, that little speech she gave at the award ceremony.
Oh, I was so blown away by her. I love that woman. She's totally right.
But did you see the response from the crowd? And by the way, folks, if you're listening and saying, what the heck are they talking about? Reese Witherspoon got up there and basically said in her acceptance speech, look, ladies, seriously, you get famous by doing the work, not by
yeah.
producing a sex video. Thank you very much.
I know it. And I thought it was very brave. What was the reaction? Were people cheering?
Oh, they loved it.
You know what? Because it's the truth. I remember we had Snooki on our show the other day.
Oh, that was hard for you, wasn't it?
You know what?
Did you bite your lip?
Thing. I don't like to spend my time with talentless people. Mm. But at the same time...
You love people.
I love people. And she's a woman of God. Though she doesn't know it, but she's a child of God, created by God. And I said to her, I said, can I give you some motherly advice? And she said, yes. And I said, stop giving yourself away to these jerks. Just don't devalue yourself more, right? And so I thought, if I've got her on my show, well, then I'm going to use it at least to be, I don't want to judge the woman because that's a completely unchristian thing to do. But at the same time, I can't pretend that I condone her behavior. People go, well, what do you think you're doing playing wine pong? I think it's a little different.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just having fun. And my thing is shtick.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, that's all it is shtick. And so my frustration in my show is that, you know, I used to interview people like Paul Newman, Audrey Hepburn. You know, now the stars of today are reality stars, and that's frustrating to me because I think they set a terrible example for our young people. They really do.
On the line with us, the one and only Kathy Lee Gifford, co-host of NPC's Today Show, the fourth hour. The ratings are absolutely, everyone I've spoken to has said you guys are rocking.
I know. There's no accounting for taste or lack of it, I guess,
seriously,
in this world. But it's no different, Drew, really, than everything I did with Regis. It's in the sense that we have fun, and fun is a contagious thing. And boy, do we need fun these days. I mean, if you've done the first 3 hours of the Today Show, you're ready to shoot yourself or somebody else. It's just bad news after bad news after bad news. And by 10 o'clock, it's, as Time Magazine has said, it's happy hour.
You guys have a lot of fun in that set. That when I was down there a few weeks ago, I mean, the cameramen, I don't know who, all the people that are standing around, it's pretty light.
It's very light. Those guys used to hate to do that hour. They just, because it was an extension of the first three, and by that time, those guys have been there since 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And they're the nicest guys in the world. They're the most hardworking, supportive group of guys, but they wanted to go home, you know? Now they're dressing up, they're laughing, they're, you know, it's become, it's just fun, it's happy, everybody's having a good time. And I think that's why it's reflected in the ratings.
I came all the way down there primarily to be finally introduced to Natalie Morales, and she was in England for the wedding. I was crushed.
You must come again. I mean, you said to me one time, she is proof that God exists.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no question.
And you know what? Honestly, I think I told you at the time, too, she's as beautiful a person as she is out on the outside. One time she and her young family, her husband and son were here at our house, I think for a Memorial Day picnic, and she was in her bathing suit and just gorgeous.
Why are you telling me this? This is not helping.
I'm going to tell you what Frank said.
Okay.
Frank said, oh, my gosh, he said, she is the most beautiful girl, but she really needs to, she's got the most gorgeous body, but she's just got to work on that middle. And I said, she's 6 months pregnant. He just thought she had a little, you know, belly bone.
Yeah.
But, she's absolutely, you're right, she's perfect.
But
she's about as perfect as can be. Speaks five languages, you know, golly day.
You, my darling, I sent this out on Twitter after I had our little visit down there. I said, you look unbelievable. This is one of the, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. Because I said on Twitter, I said, Spanx or no Spanx? You are one of the hottest women out there, ladies and gentlemen.
Drew, thank you. I think you need a little therapy.
but you know, there are
Among
moments.
Other things.
There are moments, though, Kathy Lee, where that beauty dissipates a little bit. For example, when you pluck nose hairs on the set while the cameras are rolling.
I know.
For millions of people to see. Hoda was, I thought she was going to hurl.
You know, I was just trying to show the people at home, because after all, we are a news show, how it worked. I mean, it was during Bobby's Buzz. I don't use that thing. I've never seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just trying to show the people at home. I had no idea what actually grab a hair. that was just one happenstance.
Yeah.
You know, but compared to some of the stuff Hoda shared with me, how she likes to fool around with fat guys.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Yes. That's a little nose plucking compared to that.
Jay's not fat.
No, but this was before she was with Jay.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, she was saying, you know, she said, I like it. I got to admit, it makes me feel skinny.
How is Jay Cutby doing these days? Have we heard any? Has there been any recent gossip? I know he met the family, right?
How did that go? Great. The man was willing to sleep on a blow-up mattress in the same room as Hoda's and her mother. That's love.
Wow.
You know what? I've been with him several times. He is the nicest guy, and he just adores Hoda.
Oh,
so it makes
good.
Me happy that she's so happy.
Good.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what you do. That's when you're a friend. Their triumphs are yours, and their sufferings are yours, and we've grown to be such good friends, and I think that's also why it's working so much. You know, so many of the other shows are, you can tell that people can't stand each other and are just trying to get to them and trying to, you know, hurt them and trying to one-up them and all that stuff, and that's just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think people are liking to see two women who who really support each other, even though we tease and we do all of that. That's what friends do. But at the end of the day, you can tell that we are really pulling for each other's success.
Well, you introduced me to her, said a quick howdy and a handshake, or as they say in Nashville, a shake and howdy.
Uh-huh.
And, boy, she's got the tall women, because I'm 6'4", and
right.
I mean, she's tall, is she not?
Isn't she striking? She's 5'9", but she wears those real high heels. So.
All right.
You know, I could get it in my contract that she's got to wear flats,
yeah.
Because by contrast, but she's...
No, I like her as well. I do. You know, there's only one person I've met down at the Today Show who I find a little disturbing.
Who is that?
Christine.
She finally let me show her picture the other day on Best Friends Day.
I've never seen anybody run when the camera starts to come her direction.
She and I are the perfect fit.
Yeah. You want all the glory. She can't even spell glory.
You know what? Yeah. You know that I left the show with Regis for all those years and was tired of the spotlight and stuff. So, you know, I have this image, I suppose, of being this camera hog or something, but the truth is, I am so happy not doing television and working behind the scenes on my theater stuff and writing. I was happy as a clam. It's Regis that I wonder what's going to happen to him when he retires.
I know.
He and I can't walk into a restaurant without yelling at people going, "That's right, it's Regis. Regis is here. Look who's here. Wants her job back. Look at her." You know, I said, "Regis, can we just sit down and have a quiet dinner?" No, 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 no. He's going to implode when he goes off the air.
Was it tough to say goodbye to Meredith?
Could you tell? I mean, what a love fest that was.
Mm.
You know, Frank said, "My gosh, Kathy, how long has she been there for that?" I said, "It's only 5 years, but that's the impact she's made."
Mm.
Meredith is one of those unbelievable people who is exactly what you see. Mm. She is what you get. She is so real. And treats everybody there, and that's hundreds of people, the exact same way she treats the CEO of NBC. You know, she's just a people lover, but she's, it was really, really hard. We love her, but she's going to stay with NBC in one way or the other. And she and I have been working on a project for about a year, a sitcom we want to produce together. So
good.
I'm hoping I'll see more of it, Meredith, now than I did. She's just one of the great ladies ever.
Good
you know,
you.
Remember, she left... She left CBS at the height of her success for her family.
Yeah.
And, you know, people always think there's some sort of intrigue or something. People, you know, are still wondering why I left the show with Ruth Regis all those years. I said, for the very reason I said, you know, take some people at their word. That's the real reason they're leaving.
Well, and you are, one of the better mothers out there. Frank is a better mother, but you are one of the...
He is. I've always said he's mother of the year, yes.
Yeah, but was it really Cassidy who was the messy one?
Yes, 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 and still is. Now, I took it further with this little book you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
Messy Mancini, and you did say it right. Thank you. This Messy Mancini character is also a thoughtless and rude little kid. I had to make it more than just about being messy.
Right.
But Christine, my beloved friend and assistant, whom you love even more than I do, I think, which is not possible, Christine gave her that nickname all those years ago.
Oh.
She left a trail like a slug on the sidewalk. She just, everywhere she went, there was stuff. There was a... You know, she's a squall that goes into a room. And yet, if you meet her, you know, she's the most beautiful and put together and exquisite young woman, but you don't see her room and her bathroom and her closet. So, I figure for a perfect child, that's what a price to pay.
Kathy, I have a daughter very, very much the same, and I just need to ask. I mean, she's 18 years old, my daughter Jessica.
Yeah, I've met her.
Yes, you have. Mm-hmm. Would this book help my daughter, 18 years old? She loves children. She loves working with children. If I just slip this book into her hands...
You know, I don't think so, because she doesn't have the problem this little boy has. She's not... thinking she's king of the queen of the world and can do anything she wants and can toot like a turkey
toot like a turkey
and then pick her nose. You obviously haven't read the book. This is about a little boy that will run his scooter over your toes, that will toot like a turkey, then pick his nose, that will you know, refuse to wear clean underwear, who will throw his spaghetti around. I mean, he's just basically completely selfish, self-absorbed person. Hmm. Until it says, now Messi thought he was king of the world until one day he discovered his world had been girled.
Oh.
And it's a little baby sister, all pink and powdered and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
She was the strangest thing he'd ever seen. And her name is Missy Mancini, and she just loves him to death and is so polite and is so sweet that it finally wears him down. And so it's about that. It's about being realizing you're not the only one on this planet, and we have to be mindful of one another and polite.
Good for
so
you.
So it's a little, you know, just like my first one, Party Animals, was about being understanding that we're all different, and that's what makes us special and wonderful, that God went to a lot of trouble to make every one of us unique.
It's almost like you're single-handedly helping parents fight the battle of self-entitlement. We're trying to beat self-entitlement out of our kids. And
yes.
If we don't start early, you're in
too
for
late.
That's too late.
It's too late. You're not going to believe this, but I went to my first little children's book last year. I went to a school in New York City, Upper East Side, by invitation only kind of thing, right? And 100 little kids came, and I signed each little kid's book.
Wow.
And how many children out of the 100 would you say said thank you to me?
Three.
One.
Come on.
One kid.
Wow.
And I went, there's the problem with America and maybe even Canada. I haven't been there recently, but I didn't notice it in Canada.
Well, we're too busy saying sorry up here.
I know. Well, at least you say sorry.
Yeah.
You know, it's unbelievable to me. Now I get out of into the suburbs. I was just in Houston, Texas, the exact opposite. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. You know, it's the exact opposite. But these spoiled, wealthy, entitled kids grow up to be spoiled, wealthy, entitled, obnoxious adults.
Yeah.
And if we don't teach children by the time they're six, most psychiatrists will tell you it's too late to start impacting their character.
Messi Mancini, when it comes to a mess, this kid is the best. However, as soon as Messi meets his new baby sister, Missy, he realizes that she does not share the same fondness for messes, but instead loves to be clean. And now, hold on the other side, clean freaks.
Yeah.
They're just as irritating.
Come
on. Are you a clean freak?
In some ways, but I realize I'm not like, say I've made a mess in my vanity area trying to get to something, right? I don't like freak that I don't get it cleaned up until I get back.
Right.
You know, yeah. My sister is a little bit Martha Stewart-ish. Finest woman I know. However, you basically have the last piece of food in your mouth and the plate's gone. It's scrubbed. It's in the cleaner and then she's sweeping up under your feet.
Yeah, it's a neurosis. Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you are without a doubt, and this is going to sound like blatant sucking up, which in some ways it is, but you are still my love. You are still my favoritest guest. Oh, this
Thank
is eight
you.
Years. You will never be replaced. The first headshot on my index page will always be you.
I don't know. What if I get Natalie to call in? See?
You should have seen his face there.
Yeah. I was
hey, Tim, if you're listening, call me. We'll set up a little visit.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I'd love to see that.
Wouldn't that be great?
What was I saying? Where was I? What? Who's?
Oh, the other person you were talking to the other day. You were sucking up to me, but that's enough.
Right.
Ian Cron.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had a great chat with Ian.
And Rob Mathis, too.
Yeah, well, Rob's hard to get. I've been trying to get Rob on the show, and every time I pitch, I say, look, if I don't get Rob on, Kathy Lee is going to beat me. So,
you
but
still
it
haven't?
No, still haven't.
I've got to get, oh my gosh, he's been doing this unbelievable stuff with Sting.
Yeah.
He just produced Matthew Morrison's album.
I'm trying.
You know what? Tell him he's got to do it to promote Matthew's CD or Sting. You
yeah.
know? Rob is very shy. And he's not the wordsmith that Ian is or that I am. I mean, he doesn't yet like to blab and yak and all
sure,
that stuff.
Sure.
But he's oh my gosh, I will work on him for you.
Okay, well that's great.
But hey, how is this our crisis of faith going?
Oh,
how are you?
Let's see. What's maybe a concise way to explain this? I was asked to step down as one of the hospital chaplains because, you know, I'm going through a crisis of faith, and they didn't want
right.
somebody going through a crisis of faith being a hospital chaplain. And that was the hardest thing for me. Well, no, the hardest thing for me was telling my children.
Right.
The other hardest thing was I missed doing that. I missed being there for people in the hospital. It was just an honor and a privilege, and I came away so much lighter, L-I-G-H-T, every time I did that. And then I was a volunteer chaplain at a school, and they sat me down, and they said, "We want you to stay. We want you to keep going." And
good.
I just spoke at their last chapel yesterday. And they presented me with a T-shirt that had all of their names written on it.
How nice.
They loved on me in a huge way. And I said, you know, I haven't honestly prayed for about 6 months in a sort of any official capacity.
Uh-huh.
But these kids brought me back in some kind of weird kind of way. And I think, as Paul Young said to me, you know, Paul, he wrote The Shack.
I do, sure, The Shack.
Paul said to me, and he's going to join us in a couple of minutes, actually.
Could please give him my love.
I will. Paul said, "Drew, if you find yourself unable to worship God because you're not sure if he exists, you know that love exists. So worship love. Because in the meantime, you might inevitably find out that you've been worshiping God the whole time."
Wow, that's very, very wise. And also, you know, God is love.
Yeah.
So have you read Rob Bell's new book, Love Wins?
No, I've been waiting for the fuss to die down. It's kind of like I wait till trends die, and then I go out and buy polo shirts.
No, just I'm not saying I agree with it or not. I was deeply, deeply moved by it.
Were you?
Yes. And, you know, I'd love to know what you think. Why don't you read it and then call me, and we'll have a discussion on the air about it.
Okay. Yeah, I think that...
I'll reread it. I mean, it's not as outrageous. It's everything he talks about is scripture based.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the concept of it is so overwhelming to people because it seems so radical. But nobody was more radical than Jesus.
That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, I certainly don't feel like I'm drifting towards atheism by any stretch. And when people push me these days, they really want to know, I will give them this answer, and we'll find out if they really want to know and continue the conversation, or if this answer just confuses them and they walk away. I tell people that I'm a red-letter agnostic theist.
Okay. You know what you are about it, though, and this is what I appreciate so much. You're honest about it. A lot of the other people are going through a huge crisis of faith, but they continue on so no one will suspect such a thing.
Right.
They stay in ministry. They don't get any therapy. They don't go on a retreat to get quiet. They don't and they avoid dealing with it, as opposed to being honest about it and saying, you know what, I'm crushed in my spirit right now. You cannot read the Psalms and think of David not being crushed in his spirit at times and doubting at times. And, you know, it's human nature. And I think it's ridiculous for us to pretend that it isn't. None of us are completely realized God creatures yet. We're just not. And we're going to go through the times in life when we're questioning God's presence or his reality or that he loves us and all of those things. And during those times, most of all, we should love one another and not judge.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. If doubt is more compatible with faith than certainty, then in order for our faith to flourish, do we need doubt?
That was a famous quote, wasn't it, from someone?
Well, there's a...
Was it St. Augustine or someone like that? I just read it recently, and I can't remember the author of it. Maybe it was that wonderful philosopher Anon, my mother calls him. She thinks it's a real person.
That's right. That's right.
Anon said, right up there with Plato,
yeah,
mommy.
Plato.
You know what? I think doubt is as natural as breathing. I think faith requires grace. I mean, remember the character in the Bible that says, "I do believe, help my unbelief."
Right.
I think that represents most people.
Yeah.
I do believe, or I want to believe, but help me when I don't believe.
Yeah, the more fascinating thing about this journey, and I just spoke to someone the other day, and I deal with a lot of publishers, and they said to me, you really should chronicle this journey because the sociological aspect of it, the reaction of people to my crisis of faith, has been more interesting than my crisis of faith.
I think so. I don't know that it's been more interesting, but I think you should chronicle it. I totally and completely agree with you. You know, I've been writing this musical about Amy Semple McPherson for 12 years, and we're finally, it's going to be a multi-million dollar production of it in Seattle. You should come, Drew. I would love to see you there.
Paul was very excited about
Paul was supposed to come to a reading. He wasn't able to get there.
Right.
It is all about her crisis of faith, and yet what this woman accomplished for God and for humanity's sake. She saved 1.5 million people from starving to death during the Depression, in spite of the fact that she was as fragile and foolish and flawed as a woman could be. You know, I've always said that Billy Graham would make a terrible musical, because we don't know of the flaws of a Billy Graham. Perhaps they exist, but there was no, there's never been any drama or scandals and all that stuff that make for true great musicals or a great drama theater. It'd be one, you know, what do I call it? One preaching after the next, and it would be dull as dirt. But your life would make a great musical. What you're going through would make a great musical, and it's happening for a purpose. I mean, Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Well, I believe that whatever you're going through is being used of the Lord in ways you'll never know until eternity. God is not finished with you yet, and I know there will be a righteous ending for this story.
Well,
because God's not finished writing your history book.
When I spoke to you back in December, I think you were one of my Drugal guests, I had a lot of people email me afterwards and say, loved what Kathy Lee said, and I found that a little offensive because you smacked me around, and it was a lovely smacking.
Well, you've always liked it. Thank me. No, I did it in love. And you know that.
I know.
I did it in love, and I'm no different with you off the air than I am on. We have that really neat relationship, which I cherish. I truly, truly do. And we'd spend tons of time if you lived in New York area. We'd hang. You and Christine and I would hang a lot.
Well, folks, you need to know that there's a mountain lion loose in Greenwich that people...
you know what? It just got killed. It was hit by a car the other night, so...
Okay.
There's still a cougar at...
You just wrecked my setup. I was going to segue into, you know, something about you, but thanks.
Talking about the Jimmy Fallon thing. I didn't mean to destroy that. That's what Jimmy Fallon said the other night after I was on. He said, there's a mountain lion loose in Greenwich, but there's a cougar, too, and he just talked about
it. Oh, he said that?
Yes.
Oh, I thought I was being original. Seriously. Wow.
No, you're just, you know, like, minds are genius. But, the mountain lion's dead, but the cougar is alive and well, baby.
Alive and well. Fantastic. Listen, I
love you, Drew.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I love you, too. Thank you.
And I'm praying for you, my friend.
Thank you. I do appreciate it.
Okay. Let's talk soon.
Okay. Bye, Kathy Lee.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Kathy Lee Gifford, folks, of course, co-host of NBC's Today Show. She is an author, and she's just released another beauty. The children's books that she comes out with, they've got a little salt and pepper to them. I don't know how to explain it. They're not your typical children's books. They're every parent with a pulse needs to get this book. Messy Machini. Go to her website, KathyLeeGifford.com. The book is being sold all over the place. And that's enough of the Love Fest. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
Hey, folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a four-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement four times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA, except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now, look, because there are limited spots available for our 1250 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250. Now, sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?